You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Hey, if you have your Bible, can you please turn with me to Psalms 139? You got the notes in the app as well. And if you are writing notes, I want you to title this message, Closer Than You Think. Closer Than You Think. And I think one of the deepest needs every person has, whether we admit it or not, is to know that we are not alone, right? That we have someone backing us up. I would say right now, like, the reason I'm not as nervous is because I understand my wife is cheering me on at the back. You know, I'm not alone up here. But that, I feel like that's the one of the deepest needs that we have as people is that we know, is to know that we are not alone. To know that someone sees us, someone understands us, and stays with us. Because life can look full on the outside, but internally many people are carrying things nobody sees. That nobody sees. And one of the greatest gifts of our faith is this. We do not serve a distant God, but we serve a very present God. We serve a very present God. And we've been in a sermon series called Psalms of Presence. Is anyone enjoying the sermon series that we're dealing with? David? Only David? Anyone else? I'm enjoying it, but it's uncomfortable, right? It's convicting, it's challenging, right? To seek the presence of God, which has been a collective of psalms that speaks of the presence and glory of God. And through these series, we've seen that God's presence comforts us, it satisfies us, and it grounds us, it delights us, and it actually secures us as well. And also, it actually teaches us to trust Him and draw from His strength rather than ours. Hard, right? Very hard. And I'm hoping that through this sermon series, for some of you, it's actually been convicting and challenging and maybe pulled a bit of heartstrings as much as it has for me. And that you've started encountering God's presence in a transformative way. And maybe it's beginning to change your prayer life or shifting priorities in your life. Or even maybe you think that, hey, God, I've been using my own strength a lot and I need You. I need You. In the midst where I feel low, in the midst there through struggles, anxiety, I really need You. And today I get the privilege to finish off the sermon series, Psalms 139, which is such a profound chapter. Most of us know it, and a chapter that convicts us and actually challenges us. But here's the thing, it actually equips us to recognize the presence of God more deeply. So let me read, and then I'll pray, and then we'll dive in. All right, Psalms 139. You have searched me, Lord, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and You lay Your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to You. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to You. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are Your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grain of sand. When I awake, I am still with You. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you? Lord, abhorred those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Father, that we get the privilege just to open it freely and actually read it. Father, I just pray and acknowledge that we are sinners, Father. We are people that are don't put you first. But Father, will this word, with the word right now, convict us, Father, challenge us this morning, Father. And Father, will you help me, teach this well, Father, and will you speak through me, Father, and will you, talk to your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone say amen. Amen. All right, there's so much in this chapter that I could unpack, and honestly, there are parts I'm actually not going to touch on because there's so much. But for the sake of this series, I want to actually highlight three things, if you're taking notes, three things that the presence of God helps us see in this text. The presence of God helps us see that he knows us, that God knows us. He knows everything about us. Number two, that God is with us. He's with us no matter where, what we're dealing with, where we are. He's still with us. And number three, God has formed us. The presence of God helps us to see that he has formed us. So let's go back to verse 1 and 6 and again, because David actually opens up by showing us that the presence of God is not distant. It is personal. And one of the first things his presence actually helps us to understand is that God actually knows us. So let's go back to verse 1. You have searched me, Lord. And you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind before and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too lofty for me to obtain. David is expressing right now in these six verses that God knows him so well. Before he even thought of something, God knew it. Before he sat down, God knew it. Before you sat down at church, God knew it. Before you rose, God knew it. Before a word was even spoken out of your mouth or David's mouth, God knew it. Jeremiah 1:5 says this as well. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. Have you ever had a moment with a friend where they just know what you're about to say before you even say it? Anyone got a friend like that? I've got too many friends like that, maybe because I speak too much and speak about my opinions too much. Who knows? But I've got a lot of friends like that. One of them is my best friend, my wife. She's great. She knows exactly what I want to say every time. Maybe you're ordering a coffee, right? And then the cashier asks you, what's your coffee? And then your friend budges in, hey, they just want a flat white. Or maybe what I've had working at a cafe, someone order a 16-shot Piccolo. What is that? What is a 16-shot Piccolo? I don't know. That's called death, I'm pretty sure. But hey, and they just jumped in and actually answered for you and paid for it. What about maybe a friend where you're across the room and you look at each other and you lock eyes and you're like, you know exactly what they're thinking. And they know exactly what you're thinking. And then you just start cackling and laughing. Anyone got a friend like that? If you don't have a friend like that, man, that brings you joy. Have a friend that knows you. All right, that's just an off-cuff thing. What about a father and a child, or a mother and a child? A father can, or a mother can often tell when something is wrong with their child, even saying anything. They walk differently, they answer differently, they carry themselves differently. Or for me, my daughter Clay, she loves to dance. If she's in a good mood, she'll stand up and like she'll wiggle her bum. But if she's in a bad mood and upset and needy for her wife, she'll just wiggle on her bum and sit down kind of thing. But that is true, right? Why? Because relationship creates recognition. When we have a relationship with people and we continually have a relationship, we create recognition with each other. And David says that what God is like, except it's actually different. It's actually deeper. God knows every part of us. He knows where your relationship is at. He knows what you're carrying privately. He knows what you are saying, what you're thinking, and what you're battling exactly right now. And David understands that this, and this is profound, David actually understands that God, knowing him so well, knows everything about him, is a blessing. It's actually a blessing, because if God already knows him, if God already knows us, then we don't actually have to perform for him, right? We don't have to actually put a fake facade to God, because he already knows what you're dealing with. I don't have to come to God trying to impress him. I don't have to actually pretend I've got everything together, and I don't actually have to act stronger than I am right now. And if we're honest, many of us actually spend so much energy trying to look okay externally, right? While internally carrying things that we never actually bring to God. But because he knows us, we can actually be honest. What a blessing. Instead of hiding from God, we can come honestly before him this week through prayer, because he already knows what we're carrying. And maybe that is that's the freedom some of us actually need today, to know that God already knows what you're dealing with. So we don't actually have to pretend. We can come to him honestly every day. And if he knows us this deeply, then maybe he is actually closer than we actually think. In those situations that we're dealing with, he is closer than we actually think. And the beautiful thing is, the God who knows me is also the God who actually stays with me. He stays with me. He knows everything about me, yet he's still present. He knows what we've done, what we've said, what we've actually looked in privately, what we've actually doing in privately. He knows, but he still stays with you. He's still present. So let us look at verse 7 and 12 and actually unpack this, because David now shows us that there is nowhere we can actually go where God is absent. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the dark will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and the darkness is as light to you. David is saying there's no escape from God's spirit. Verse 7, we see it. Where can I flee from your spirit? He's saying that there is nowhere in existence where God's presence stops, because God is with us. There's no place too high, there's no place too low, there's no place too dark. There's no place too hard for God to actually be there. God is there. Hebrews 13:5 actually says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are moments in life where someone may not say much, but their presence changes everything. I believe that most of us actually have that. That person where they don't have to say anything, but their presence matters. Their presence changed everything. I remember there was a time in my life around 10 years ago. I was in Bangkok, admitted into the hospital, and the doctors pulled my dad and my mom and my siblings aside, and they actually told them, and I heard from afar, hey, like, you start preparing to say goodbye to this guy, because this guy's in a bad shape. And I had ruptured spleen, broken ribs, and I had a bacterial pneumonia in my left lung, and it was about to collapse, and I should have collapsed after 3 flights. It should have collapsed. And these doctors were just like, you just got to prepare. You got to prepare. But what I really remember is my dad sitting next to me, holding my hand, not saying nothing, but his presence gave me hope. His presence changed the atmosphere in that room. And I don't know if you have that friend where their presence just changes the atmosphere. They don't have to say anything, but their presence is so important. Presence does not always remove pain. It doesn't remove pain, but it changes how we walk through pain. And for us today, that means God is present. God is present in our schools, youth. God is present when we're doing exams, when we're stressed, when people are saying things about us. In our workplaces, God is present. In the tough times, God is present. In the lonely places, in our marriage struggles, God is still present. In our uncertainty, in heavy seasons, even when the world right now is feeling overwhelming throughout the world, fuel prices, God is still present, amen? Come on. God is present, hey, through anything. And this matters because many people, and we can be honest here, many people and myself interpret silence as absence, right? We interpret silence as absence. But God does not leave just because life becomes difficult, amen? Just because life feels quiet does not mean God has stepped away. God is here even if I don't even feel him, because his presence is often closer than we think. His presence is often closer than we think. And if God knows me and if God is with me, then David helps us to understand one more thing. My life is not random, because the God who knows me and stays with me also is the God that formed me. So let's look at verse 13 to 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. We understand that David actually is saying and expressing that God has formed him in his mother's womb. God actually created him. In verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And to back it up, Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship. That means there is intent behind our life. There is intent behind our life. And today's world, so many people wrestle with identity, comparisons, insecurity, and lack of purpose. People constantly measure themselves against culture and opinions and what people think. But this matters because if God formed you intentionally, then your value is not determined by culture or comparison or other people's opinions. Your life is not random, and the season you're in right now, whether clear, whether it's painful or slow, confusing, whether it's even fruitful or even hidden, it's not outside of what God can use to shape you and who you are becoming. Clay, not my daughter, but the actual molding clay, does not understand every turn on the wheel, right? But we understand that the potter is the one that determines the mold, determines the wheel, determines how it looks. It's the creator that determines it. So sometimes seasons can only make sense later, because formation often happens before understanding. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes seasons only make sense later, because formation often happens before understanding. I once heard a story about a young boy visiting a museum with his mum. As they walked through, the boy stopped in front of a large tapestry. Everyone know what a tapestry is? Come on. There won't be an image out there. I was going to say, there's an image up there. There's not. But there's a tapestry, so pretty much carpets or something. Like they're creating carpets. That was hanging on the wall, but he was standing behind it. He was standing behind it and not in front of it. And from where he stood, all he could see were loose threads, messy knots, tangled colors going in every direction. And it looked chaotic, it looked random, it looked ugly, and it looked messy and pointless to this boy. And the boy tugged his mum's hand and said, why would anyone make something so messy? Why would anyone make something so disgusting or so weird? His mum smiled gently and took his hand and walked him around the front of the tapestry, and suddenly everything changed. And what once looked chaos was now a beautiful masterpiece. So I want to encourage you guys, church, hey, God has formed you, God has shaped you, God is weaving every moment together. Your life is not random, because God is working in you right now. Start seeing your current season that you're in whether messy or whether even good, as part of God's shaping work for your life. He has formed us today. And what we understand in Psalms 139, David's reminding us that God's presence knows us. God knows us. God is with us. God has actually formed us for a purpose. He has put intent in our lives. And if that is true, then the right response to God's presence is not performance, but it should be surrender. It should be surrender. God is present, but the big question is, are we aware of his presence? Are we actually aware of his presence this morning, during worship, during the hard times? Are we actually aware of it? Because David tells us that he is there and he knows what you're going through. But are we aware of it? Because in order to know his presence, you have to be in his presence, stay in his presence, and also to learn to recognize his presence. Some people know church spaces like youth, Sunday worship, young adults, tiny treasures, midweek stuff. Some people know worship environments. Some people know Christian language or lingo, you might say. But do we actually know his presence? Do we actually know his presence? Can we actually be aware of his presence right now? And I love how actually David finishes this chapter. After speaking about how God knows him and God is with him and how God formed him, David doesn't just end with information, he actually ends with a prayer. In verse 23-24, it says this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What a powerful prayer, hey? David prayed. And David's actually saying that, God, I know you are present. I know you know me, but I know and I understand there are things that are hindering me from experiencing your presence. There are things that are in the way, whether that's struggles or anxiety, that are hindering me from experiencing your presence. And that might be some of us right now, whether it is anxiety that's hindering our experience with God. Maybe it's pride or distractions in our lives or hidden pain, or maybe in areas that we actually haven't surrendered to God yet, that we're finding it hard to surrender to God. So as a church, I want to encourage us, let David's prayer, verse 23-24, be our prayer daily. Search me, Father. Highlight the things that have actually hindered my experience with your presence, Father. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me pray, and then we've got some exciting things. But Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your presence, Father. We thank you that David reminds us that you know us, Father. You know everything that we deal with right now, Father. You know the things that we're carrying right now, Father. Even the things that we haven't actually spoken to anyone about, Father. You still know us, and we thank you. And Father, we thank you that even if we sin, Father, even if we're imperfect, Father, you've actually said that you are still present. You're still present, Father. And Father, will you actually highlight the areas that we might have to push away that are hindering us to experience your presence in those moments, Father? Will we be able to just stop and just reflect on you in situations that we're dealing with, Father? We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenges and convictions that it brings, Father. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen, amen.